Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Broderick Jones, 54.5 PFF grade. Aaron Rodgers, 54.5 PFF grade. Exactly the same. Exactly the same. The same number. The same. And our Twitter poll for today is, would you consider benching Broderick Jones? I feel like the discussion on Aaron Rodgers is he going to lead the Steelers to the Super Bowl or not?
Right.
I want to keep pulling at this Rodgers thread as much as we can, man, because I am really thrilled by the way he performed. And I've been bullish on him for a while. I didn't think he'd be so great so early. You did, and he was. And he's changing the math a little bit on how I consider these Pittsburgh Steelers if they can keep him upright. So we'll get into that. But there's a hot and heavy trade rumor we'll get to in one moment. You can't count on much. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So this from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, West Virginia guy, who is going to be really disappointed on Saturday like the rest of my Mountaineers.
Sure is.
Mm-hmm. He wrote, quote, there's already chatter in the aftermath of Sunday's win over the Jets that the all-in Steelers could go even more all-in by making a move for Tyreek Hill. Yes, Pittsburgh already has receiver DK Metcalf, who's making $30 million per year on a five-year deal, but the Steelers don't have a clear-cut number two. Hill would be 1B, if not at times 1A to Metcalf. Why wouldn't Rodgers want Hill? The more potent weapons that Rodgers has at his disposal, the better his first year, he writes, first year, interesting, in Pittsburgh will go, and Rodgers would be able to deliver longer throws to Hill, who hasn't had a 30-plus yard reception since week one of last year. Also, and here's where I kind of lose the thread a little bit, between Rodgers and Coach Mike Tomlin and other veteran leaders, the Steelers could potentially manage Hill, who would likely be so thrilled to get to a contender that he'd be on his best behavior for at least the rest of the season, end quote. I know you're big time on go get Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
I'm enticed by it as well.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like offensively they have the healthiest mix that they've had in years. And I'm worried about upsetting the apple cart on that.
What apples would you upset?
The ones in the cart.
Who's the ones in the cart? DK Metcalf?
I just think about George Pickens and why they got rid of him. And he's not as good as Tyreek Hill, believe me. I know that. And I don't know if you want to go down that path again.
He's not George Pickens either. Like, I mean, crazy-wise.
I don't know that anybody is. Pickens was trying to commit a 15-yard penalty in the first game of the season and thought better of it. And I was like, ooh, growth. And then he immediately clotheslines a player like 20 minutes of game action later.
I just think that if Tyreek Hill is on a team that has a shot, and if it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, like if he gets one catch a game for 15 to 20 yards, I think he'd be fine with it because he knows that he's in a better situation than he is in now.
And he'd get more than that.
Right.
He didn't want to play for Mike McDaniel.
No.
Did you hear some of Mike McDaniel's post-game stuff?
Yes.
If I were Tyreek Hill.
He didn't want to play with Tua either.
Well, okay, so I have a concern there too, which I'll get to in a minute, but I would sell my soul to get away from Mike McDaniel and go and play for Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Because people are blowing up the YouTube, people are blowing up the text line right now. Why would Tyreek Hill want to leave Miami for Pittsburgh? Oh, I don't know, because you want to go play winning football, and guess what you could do in the offseason if you want to go back to Miami? You can go back to Miami.
Yeah, you have enough money.
A lot of guys do that.
Yes.
Just because players stay here in Pittsburgh during the season doesn't mean they don't go off to Arizona and stuff in the offseason, too.
Right.
Travel the world.
You think Aaron Rodgers is going to stay here in the offseason?
I do not. I think he's going to hang out in Malibu.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I did like that Florio buried it in there, though, in Rodgers' first year. as a Pittsburgh Steeler. I like that from Florio. I mean, it's factually accurate, but it implies a second year forthcoming for Aaron Rodgers. My other concern is it's been since week one last year since he had a 30-plus yard catch. I think most of that's on Tua and on him being the primary weapon there, and then Tyreek was banged up and Tua was banged up. But I do wonder if Cheetah's lost a little bit of a step. I mean, a couple years ago, he's a 2,000-yard receiver. He ain't that anymore.
Yeah, but if he's lost a step, it's everybody else's normal step.
Yeah.
So he hasn't lost a step. I just think that everything is just not going well down there. And I think he, like you said, he was banged up a little bit. And I think a little bit has to do with Tua and a little bit has to do with just not believing in the offense or what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of cashed out.
I mean, I heard Mike McDaniel's press conference after the game.
They have no respect for him.
How could
And we
you?
Knew that. Like, I mean, as soon as he got hired, you knew that. I was like, man, I was like, yeah, he's laid back and it'll be all well and good if you're winning. But once you start losing, nobody has respect for that. The grown men you're talking about.
Right. It's all cute when you're winning games and putting up a million points. But when you start losing, and look, I don't want to be like overly critical of Mike McDaniel, but it was just droning on for 2 minutes about how hard they worked in the offseason and how it's a shame, but they're definitely a better football team than they showed, and there's zero passion. There was so little behind it that it makes you feel like he didn't believe the words that were coming out of his own mouth.
Right, like he was just making it up because I don't think he has the answer. And whenever people that are very smart like him, where you go to Princeton or Harvard or whatever, and that's why he's in the position he's in, he's a schemer, offensive schemer. He's very good at that. But as a head coach, like whenever he doesn't have an answer, they go haywire. So I think that like it's bothering him. He doesn't have the answers for the first time probably ever in his life of how to fix something.
Rex Ryan called him a nerd.
Yeah.
My wife commented on the whiteness of Rex Ryan's teeth.
Yeah, they're very white.
They're too white.
Yes, Barry.
It's worse when they do the shot of the entire crew.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you zoom in, you're like, man, that guy's got some white teeth. Those are nice teeth. And then they zoom out. It's like, oh, my God.
Yep.
How can anybody read the prompter?
Fluorescent.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the Steelers were to get Tyreek Hill, and I mean, I don't know what the money would look like financially or anything, but just like kind of baseline, I think that propels them into the conversation that we talk when we talk about the Ravens, when we talk about the Chiefs, and when we talk about the Bills. No doubt. I just don't understand. I just don't know how anybody's going to stop that. Even if you have Broderick Jones, you have those issues, you have those warts, even the run defense, I understand all those. You have to fix those in order to be a complete team. But offensively and skill player-wise, how do you stop Jonnu Smith, DK Metcalf, and Tyreek Hill?
And it opens up a lot, you would think, in the running game, too.
Oh, God.
I'd play my safeties on the goal line.
Honestly.
I mean, right? When you got DK Metcalf and Tyreek Hill. I entered the segment without my mind necessarily made up one way or the other from a football standpoint. Yeah, of course it's tantalizing. Of course it's tantalizing. But I also think, you know, based on how these next few games go, if you're going to make a trade at the deadline, maybe the way to go is tackle.
I agree with that. Tackle over Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Mike McDaniel went to Yale.
One of those schools.
From 01 to 04.
Yeah, you know, those Ivy Leagues. You know what I was talking about.
Oh, yeah. I'm not correcting you.
He's smart.
He's 5'9", 180. He can't be 180 pounds. I'm 5'9". He doesn't look like he's heavier than I do. He looks like me.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like me. I mean, he got a little bit more razzle-dazzle in style. I mean, good for him. It's not hard to get over that hurdle, that bar. 0-1, and I walk in to talk to the football team. So I do believe Tyreek Hill's going to get traded. The reason I keep piling on Mike McDaniel is he didn't want to be there. It's going to get ugly fast. He might get fired, probably will get fired, because they laid the biggest egg out of any NFL team last week. But if push comes to shove, I would rather have a left tackle than a wide receiver.
Yep.
Your thoughts on that at 412-928-9370. 9370. Would you be interested in Tyreek Hill? A new Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at underscore Adam Crowley at Score and Doran. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We got a great guest coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll tell you about him next. We'll take your calls on Tyreek Hill when we come.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk says there's already chatter in the aftermath of Sunday's win over the Jets that the all-in Steelers could go even more all-in by making a move for Tyreek Hill. Yay or nay, Steelers fans? 412-928-9370. Yes, Harry.
Hi, Crowley.
You got very close to the microphone there. Your eyes perked up. I know you're not feeling great. Did you have something to say other than hello?
I actually didn't even want to say that. I was just kind of looking at you because you're hosting a show.
Okay, very good. That was my surprise, is typically you're not looking. Typically you're doing something else back there. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. But I will echo that. I will say hello back. Hello, Harry. Would you want the Steelers to trade for Tyreek Hill? Now, I'll be clear on this. I don't think it's something that happens like this week. The Dolphins aren't going to, after falling to 0-1, immediately trade Tyreek Hill. This is something that would probably happen a little bit closer to the deadline. And so this will all work itself out. But if on the path to the deadline, Broderick Jones continues to stink out loud, then I would absolutely prefer going with a tackle over a Tyreek Hill. Because I think Rodgers just showed you on Sunday he can make it happen.
Yeah,
you just got to protect him. I think Tyreek Hill would take them to the next level if he was getting protection, but if he's not, I think a left tackle that could give that blindside protection would actually take them to a higher level, if that makes sense.
I totally agree. But then you're in, I mean, then you're just kind of kicking Broderick Jones down the road. Not
That's
even
right.
down the road, you're kicking him out.
You
like,
are.
You're done.
You are.
So I don't know if they want to admit that early, but I would do that over Tyreek Hill. I would try to get both if I
sure.
could. Clearly, I mean, you've already done business of taking two of the Dolphins players. You might as well do business with them again and get two Dolphins players if they have a left tackle that is decent out there. Send us a left tackle as well with Tyreek Hill, and we'll give you a second-round pick or whatever. I don't know. I would do both.
We'll give you Broderick Jones.
Broderick Jones, second-round pick, tackle, and Tyreek Hill. Not bad.
Because Tyreek Hill's Mr. Go-down-the-field guy. They call him the cheetah.
Yep.
Got to hold up a little bit in pass protection.
Yes.
Get him the football. Because we did see it. There were some downfield shots from Rodgers. Not a ton, but there were some. They called more than that when Rodgers would turn his back to the defense on play action, and a couple of them were thwarted because Broderick Jones couldn't protect. 412-928-9370. We'll get to your calls in a moment. But coming up in the next segment, we got a really special guest. So Doran is going to be speaking on a panel next Wednesday at the Heinz History Center from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock, talking about Bobby Greer, who broke the color barrier in the Sugar Bowl despite significant pushback from the segregationist governor of Georgia. Well, Rob Greer Jr., the son of Bobby Greer, he's going to join us coming up next, talk about a new book, to talk about that panel, and to talk about really one of the great moments in Pitt and college football history. So we will talk to Rob Greer Jr. coming up at the bottom of the hour. Brian and Carnegie wants to talk Tyreek Hill, though. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
What up?
Hey, good. Hey, listen, I agree with you 100%. Well, first of all, I wouldn't want Tyreek Hill just because it seems like the Steelers' history of recent wide receivers, headaches, seems like Tyreek Hill's been a headache, wanting to leave Kansas City, wanting to leave Miami, et cetera. So I think that's just number one. Number two, and I really agree with this point, too, for sure, is we got to get rid of what the bust is in Broderick Jones. I think going after tackle will be much more sufficient and much more long-lasting than a Tyreek Hill for maybe 1 or 2 years.
Yeah, I think you're not going to find much pushback on the second point here. I also don't love inviting distractions into the locker room, but if you're Tyreek, you're in football hell right now.
Mm-hmm.
Your team stinks. You probably don't respect your head coach. He's going to get fired, so who's the next guy going to be? You're not going to win anything, and you're not going to wind up putting up the statistics that you're used to putting up. So maybe it could be a classic change of scenery.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that, and I think that the first issue whenever he was with Kansas City was he wanted paid. So
he said he's regretted that.
Yeah, I mean, but, yeah, of course.
But I also look at that different. Guy who wants paid is not guy who causes problems.
Now, off the field, he is going through some situations. He has, and he is right now. If that gets cleared up, then yes, of course. But off the field seems to be a little bit of an issue.
Look, a lot of people, and these aren't the same thing, and I probably should be careful in spacing them out, the sentences here, but you know, a lot of people don't like Aaron Rodgers. I could give a rat's ass. Go throw 4 touchdowns, right? And look, I'm not defending anything that Tyreek Hill has been accused of or anything like that. But do you want to win football games or do you not want to win football games? So I'm not against trading necessarily for Tyreek Hill. I would just look at tackle first if Broderick continues to stink. But hey, if Broderick improves, oh yeah.
You're rolling. You're rolling.
Do I have a lot of confidence in that happening? Broderick improving. Yes, insofar as I think he'll be better than he was last week. No, in that I think he's going to be their long-term solution at left tackle.
He'll be better this week than he was last week, but as you said earlier, there's a gauntlet that they're embarking on.
After the bye week, it is Myles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, and Micah Parsons in 3 consecutive weeks.
Oh, my God.
Do we think we could get Darnell Washington a couple of pizzas between now and then? A day. Maybe beef him up.
I don't think he needs it.
You're probably right about that. Just have him play left tackle. Smitty and Hemphill next up. Hi, Smitty.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I just got a quick. I love the Tyreek Hill idea. I just don't know how it's going to work in a. He says a jump on a moving train, and I don't know how that sounds going into it. How much we have to pay him? What do we have to give up for him? And I'll go after this. I just want to say, could someone tell DK Metcalf to stay on the ground when he's catching a ball at his hips? There you go. I'm done.
Thank you, Smitty.
Stay on the ground when he's catching his balls. What?
I have no idea what he said there at the end. DK showed you he can catch the ball on the ground.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kansas City, the other potential suitor for Tyreek Hill, according to Mike Florio.
Yeah, clearly he would want to go back there.
Yeah. And they haven't thrown the ball down the field the same way since he left. You look at some of the passing charts for Patrick Mahomes' regular season anyhow, and he'll get you death by a thousand cuts. Way back when, that was a joy to watch whenever Tyreek played for him.
Yeah.
So if they gave Tyreek some sort of say in where he goes, then yeah, I think he would clearly prefer to go back there. Was that PJ walking behind?
Yep.
He's wearing a tie today.
He is.
Someone's getting fired. I don't like it.
You just always go to negativity.
That's right. 412-928-9370. If you want to comment on the Tyreek Hill conversation, we will take your calls on Tyreek Hill coming up. We're going to talk to Rob Greer Jr., the son of the late, great Bobby Greer, who broke the color barrier in the Sugar Bowl despite significant pushback from the governor of Georgia. One of the great moments, really, in college football history. We'll talk to him, Rob Greer Jr.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. No Greer, no game. That was the rallying cry of the University of Pittsburgh football team and its supporters in 1956. Bobby Greer broke the color barrier in the Sugar Bowl despite pushback from the governor of Georgia, a segregationist at the time, and the leadership of the University of Pittsburgh, Greer's teammates, Georgia Tech students and players, they all stood united. If Greer wasn't going to play, there would be no game. And Doran, you'll be on a panel for the event Game Changers, Bobby Greer, Wednesday, September 17th at the Heinz History Center from 6 until 8 p.m. And we are joined now by Rob Greer Jr., the son of Bobby Greer. It's a great honor talking to you, Rob. How you doing this morning? And thanks for jumping on with us.
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
So a book is coming out as well, as I understand it, correct? No Greer, No Game, How Bobby Greer and the Sugar Bowl Showdown Changed American Sports History. It's the story of courage, unity, and resilience, lessons every reader can carry into their own life.
Totally. We are so excited to have it come to life. We're just really, really thankful.
Now, Rob, can you tell us a little bit about your dad and his legacy and you know, why his story matters today? Just, you know, the things that he went through and, you know, playing for the University of Pittsburgh, you know, all the stuff that he had to overcome. What is his story for our listeners?
Absolutely. So, you know, Bobby Greer was the Jackie Robinson of college football. So in 1956, he broke the Sugar Bowl color barrier with quiet courage, helping to change both sports and America. And it wouldn't have happened without his incredible teammates as well.
Why do you think the story resonates with so many today? What makes it relevant?
Well, you know, because courage never gets old. You know, Bobby's story is about standing up for what's right, and that's as urgent today as it was in 1956.
Now, I'm very excited to be a part of this event on September 17th, next Wednesday. And, you know, just a big honor for me. And, you know, my uncle, Ron Dickerson, was one of the first African-American head coaches in college football. And he always spoke highly of Bobby Greer and how much he meant to him and what he had to go through for my uncle to get opportunities like he did. Can you explain what the Game Changer event entails next Wednesday?
Absolutely. And listen, we are so thankful to have you. We appreciate it. You know, so this isn't just another event. You know, it's the beginning of a movement. So on the 17th, like you brought up at the Heinz History Center, we'll reveal the book cover for the first time and then also premiere the trailer for the upcoming series. Then on October 1st, we officially launch the book. So from there, we're going to put all our focus and everything in place to move full speed ahead into pre-production for the limited run series.
It's the 70th anniversary of that 1955-56 season. Pitt beat Cal, beat Syracuse, held Jim Brown to his lowest rushing yards of the year. They went 7-3, including a 20-0 shutout of Penn State. They beat West Virginia, and then the Sugar Bowl invitation followed. You mentioned the book. What will readers be able to take from the book, Rob?
So, you know, it's a story of legacy, courage, and unity and resilience. So really lessons that every reader can carry into their own life.
How can people support this movement? Where do they go? How can they contribute?
Well, the easiest thing for them to do is just come to the event, pre-order the book, and then join others who are contributing to the production of our limited run series, and then just share Bobby's story.
Rob, really appreciate you jumping on. This is really cool. Can't wait to read the book, and we'll see you Wednesday night.
Sounds great. See you there.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks.
What I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, 2 years ago, saw my Uncle Ron, and I told you stories about my Uncle Ron. He was just, we were sitting there at a table at a family reunion, and he just broke out and was just talking about Bobby Greer and what it meant for, you know, him to do what he did in order for my uncle to be what he became. And, you know, it's, you know, ironic that, 2 years later that, you know, I'll be a part of this event. I'm very excited. Heinz History Center. Next Wednesday, and you know, just to grasp even more knowledge about college football, grasp even more knowledge about the color barrier and things of that nature that, you know, helped me be the player that I could be in football today, you know, things of that nature. So, like, I'm very honored to be a part of this event, and he means a lot to college sports and college football.
Pitt's got such a great history.
Yeah.
And this is one of the most significant moments in the history of Pitt and one of the most significant moments in the history of college football was breaking the color barrier in the Sugar Bowl in 1956. So go see Dorn.
Yep.
And get the book. I'm going to get the book because I think it's something, look, West Virginia, who cares? Whenever you're talking about stuff of this magnitude, I think it's a book that everybody should read, and I'm looking forward to it. 412-928-9370. We have people texting in about Tyreek Hill as well. And once we mentioned the Chiefs, a lot of people are like, yeah, it's not happening. He's going to Kansas City. I do think Kansas City, you know, we talk about the Steelers being quote-unquote all in. I think Kansas City would probably be more willing to push more chips into the middle of the table for a Tyreek Hill than would the Steelers. And the reason I say that is because with all the Steelers have done this offseason, they gave up one draft pick. One. For DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. A second-round pick. Mm-hmm. They haven't traded anything from next year's draft. And I don't think that they want to necessarily, but I think for a player of that caliber, they would. But are they going to be willing to give up more than the Kansas City Chiefs would to revisit their glory days of Mahomes and Tyreek Hill?
Probably not.
Probably not. Mm-mm. I do also worry about the whole jumping on a moving train thing. Like, how many receivers got moved last year, and how many of them were truly impactful?
Well, I don't worry about that as much with a receiver like Tyreek Hill, because he is all speed. And it's like, hey, man, like, we don't need to teach you the offense. This is what you're running, and go get open. Like, you know, Mike Williams coming on. I mean, he's not Tyreek Hill. And Tyreek Hill also did play with Patrick Mahomes in that highly complex offense. You could probably learn pretty quickly if you could learn Andy Reid's offense. So I wouldn't really worry about it as much. And you have Aaron Rodgers who will get you in the right spot and take care of you. You have a quarterback that is, you know, not like a Tua Tagovailoa who's trying to figure out his own way. Aaron Rodgers knows exactly what he wants to do before he wants to do it, knows exactly what everybody else is doing before they know what they're doing. He'll get Tyreek Hill, if this were to come to fruition, up to speed quickly because of his knowledge. Now, I know Davante Adams last year was a situation, but, you know, the Jets are the Jets, and that whole situation was burned to, you know what, from the start.
I heard the Jets post-game show, they had on the SNY New York, they took great umbrage with the fact that Rodgers said he wanted to beat everyone in the Jets organization. And the one guy, and his name is now escaping me on the desk, said, they gave Rodgers everything he wanted. How could he possibly feel disrespected? I don't know. The coach walked in, talked to him for 5 minutes after making him fly across the country to come meet with him. It's not that hard to understand, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Davante Adams, I also don't think last season was, I mean, I know they didn't win a bunch of football games, but last season with the Jets, I mean, he had 67 catches and 854 yards.
Oh, yeah. See, like, that's pretty, I mean, and,
it's
and
not
he
like
knew
he didn't
the
play
offense
well.
Because the offense was Hackett's offense.
Right. So he comes into a he came into a situation working with a quarterback he knew how to work with, and also in an offense that he knew better than Tyreek Hill would be here. But, I mean, even if he's just out there standing there, you got to account for him.
I mean, think about what they did with DK on Sunday. Like, the screen passes, the bubble screens, just the quick get it out of your hand and get him the ball. Like, that's what they would do with Tyreek Hill, too. It doesn't have to be that complex. Like, hey, Tyreek, take one step and turn, and I'm going to fire it to you.
You know, Rodgers got knocked, according to Pro Football Focus, because he didn't make the big-time throws, and that's the throws where you get it to a receiver on target whenever he's got dudes draped all over him. And I think that's one of the most overrated metrics in college and professional sport is that big-time throw metric on Pro Football
Focus. The one that Calvin Austin wasn't?
They did not count that as one. So, A, that's ludicrous because that is a big-time throw. But, B, look, if guys are
Pat Freiermuth
wide stinking open, those looked like big-time throws to me, too. Like he had coverage draped over him twice. One of them I thought should have been a PI in addition to being a completed pass. Those didn't count. Even if they did, if my quarterback doesn't need to make throws pinpoint into coverage and he's just throwing to the wide open guy,
that's even
I think I can live with that.
Yeah, guys are getting open.
Rodgers making good decisions, I can live with it. And like getting the ball to DK Metcalf on that first third down of the game, he lets the ball go, and I was curious. I mean, how many times over the last couple of years have we, oh, man, you throw short of the sticks on third down. This blows. The second the ball got into DK's hands, I was like, okay, he put it in stride in a way that we know that DK can make a play, and then DK Metcalf did what they're paying him all this money to do, and he went out there and made a play. That's not a high-level throw. That's not a hard throw to execute, but you know what? That was the right play.
That was knowing your guy. That's knowing your guy.
But it's not a big-time throw,
no.
So up.
Right.
We're docking him points because he didn't bounce it off a defender's helmet into the hands of DK Metcalf. Ridiculous. We'll go around the NFL coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. 10 minutes from now, after one game, Are you reconsidering what you think might be the ceiling of your favorite football team? I'll tell you what I feel a little less good about now is the Vikings game. They got a great roster. They got a great offensive-oriented head coach. J.J. McCarthy was cheeks through three quarters. And then he went out there, man, and accounted for three touchdowns in the fourth quarter, two passing, one rushing. That's the first time in the history of the NFL a player in his first ever start has accounted for three touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
He's game. I don't think he played well until he did. And that's his first game and a road game?
It was like an epiphany. It was like, he was like, all right, yeah, I can play this game.
I can do this.
Yep, I'm good.
That place was going bonkers, too. And there were some coaching mishaps at the end of the game by Chicago to allow the Vikings to win. But J.J. McCarthy was nails down the stretch. And that's usually not something I think is common in a rookie quarterback.
No.
Like, if I start bad, I'm going to play bad. And he did not. So
I don't know how the season's going to end for them, but, like, I mean, it's time to give O'Connell more credit. I mean, look, he revitalized Sam Darnold's career. If Sam Darnold needs to give him a couple million bucks for that.
Yeah, for real.
Seriously. And it seems like, you know, I mean, his offensive structure, it just works. He gets it. Former player, former quarterback. I mean, he was in Hard Knocks getting cut, if you ever remember, from the Jets.
I do.
Good on him.
I think he's one of the best coaches in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, 14-3 with Sam Darnold last year. That's a hell of a coaching job. On now to college football, where West Virginia's number one running back, number two wide receiver, and potentially number one inside linebacker could all miss the backyard brawl. The first two guys I mentioned will miss the backyard brawl. Well, Pat Narduzzi in his press conference yesterday compared West Virginia's number two running back, Clay Ash, to Bo Scadabo. I have watched Clay Ash and every rep he's taken in college. He is not Bo Scadabo.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is Clay Ash white?
Yes. What makes you think that?
Because Narduzzi comparing him to Bo Scadabo?
If I may, the only thing that Clay Ash and Bo Scadabo have in common is that they're both Caucasian.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure he'll start on Saturday. Pitt has opened, or at least the last I checked, they're a 6.5-point favorite on the road in a rivalry game. That's a pretty big spread.
Yeah.
On the road for a rivalry game.
Yeah. They're going to be pissed off, too. Pitt is. Beanie Bishop.
Oh, they don't care about Beanie.
Okay. Are you sure?
No, I'm pretty sure they do care.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you need more bulletin board material in a game like this, are you really up to play anyway? Actually, I think it aids Pitt greatly. That and the guys who have all played in the rivalry before. West Virginia's got 81 guys who haven't.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, do you think that Rich Rod sat his guys down yesterday or today and is like, this is what this rivalry is about? Or do you think it's just like, hey, we got to figure out a way to just keep guys healthy and win a football game?
I think he is going to have them up to speed on the rivalry, but there's only so much you can get through talking, right? I think the first backyard brawl in this new backyard brawl era, the Devonshire pick six game, I don't know that everyone got it coming in. I knew everyone got it coming out. And then you go to Morgantown and they play Sweet Caroline and you know coming out. Last year, you could feel it. And Pitt's going to have that experience that West Virginia doesn't have.
Do you think that there's some guys on the West Virginia roster that don't know that Rich Rodriguez was the head coach in 13-9? Because half the kids would be, what, 2-3 years old at the time? And maybe their parents or, you know, just college football and that being brought up. Do you think that there's kids on the roster right now for the Mountaineers that don't know that Rich Rodriguez was the coach in that game?
Yes.
They know that he was a coach before, but in that game.
Yes, I think they know. I think there are some that don't know.
Right.
And I think that might be the one piece of history he will leave out in the week leading up to the game. All right, coming up next, after watching one game of these Pittsburgh Steelers, has your ceiling changed? Has their ceiling changed in your mind? We'll talk to you about that. We'll give our answers when we come back. But first, Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Beautiful day today. High is 76, low 48, clear skies. Same forecast for the Brawl. Mid-70s, cloudless.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.